Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Legal Experts.
Good morning. This is Emily Rowell, and you are listening to another show of Atlanta Legal Experts Radio here in Buckhead, Georgia, at the Buckhead location of Peachtree Offices. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Again, it's Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices, and I've got Ryan McPherson here with me. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you. Same to you.
Well, thank you. I see you're wearing green today,
I am,
so no
finally.
Pinching for you,
nope,
right?
Nope.
That's good. That's good. And it's a beautiful morning here in Buckhead, ready for another exciting edition of Atlanta Legal Experts.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I have Damon Elmore with us. Good morning.
Good
how
morning,
are you?
Good morning, Emily. I'm doing well. How are you?
Nice to see you this morning.
Thanks
and he
us.
Is with Now Sparks,
correct.
LLC. And I also have Eileen Gray. She is principal of Gray & Associates. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here so early.
Thank you.
Did you get your coffee?
Yes, I did.
Good. Good. Great. And I want to just let everybody know that this show has been brought to you in part by 3A Law Practice Management, where they help attorneys and lawyers start and build their practice, and also Peachtree Offices, and they also help attorneys find office space all over the city. And you can see their links to their website on atlantalegalexperts.com. Also, just a quick note, don't forget May 6th.
That's right.
Divorce Town Mixer.
Okay.
From 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, May 6th. Mm-hmm. And I'll give another little clue. It is in the perimeter area.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's for divorce professionals out there who
yes.
want to kind of network and meet other divorce professionals.
So if you help people going through a divorce in any way, or if you work with professionals that help people go through a divorce, mm-hmm. you are more than welcome to attend and network. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have sponsorship opportunities, lots of giveaways, food and fun.
And you'll be sharing more information about that on your Twitter, on the LinkedIn group,
yes.
all those platforms. People can stay tuned to that for more information, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent.
So we will start, and I am going to read Damon Elmore's biography. He is a member of Nowell Sparks, LLC in Atlanta. His work and practice areas focus on matters involving HR and employment law for nonprofit, local government, and small business clients. He has over 18 years' experience representing public and private sector clients. He has significant experience as an in-house corporate lawyer, and he is president of human resources for Fortune 250 company, or I'm sorry, former vice president of human resources for a Fortune 250 company, responsible for rebuilding and leading the human resources function for the manufacturing, import parts, and transportation divisions of the company in the U.S. and Canada. Damon is a native of Savannah, Georgia, and fan of community-related activities. He is the current president of the Board of Directors for the Georgia Legal Services Program. Out of his business attire, he is currently in the middle of a personal initiative to bike in every Georgia county, 159 of those,
wow,
to raise money and awareness for the Georgia Legal Services Program.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little more about the Georgia Legal Services Program?
Yeah, sure. So first, after hearing that bio, that guy sounds real good.
So I know.
I'd like to meet him. The Georgia Legal Services Program is essentially a statewide legal aid agency, providing legal services to civil legal services for the poor. We operate 10 regional offices and essentially help all of the other areas across the state outside of a 5-county metro area. And so that's why I started with the initiative, in order to get to those counties and see the areas that we help and the people that we help. And so far, I'm up to 139 of the counties, and it's been a lot of fun.
I was going to ask you, wow, 139.
Yeah, it's been a lot of bike riding,
yeah.
a lot of sore days, but it has been fun, and it's made me fall in love with Georgia all over again.
That's awesome.
See some of the industry and business that is even outside of the metro Atlanta area, see the people who are working there. It's been fun to try and check in with some of the local chambers whenever they're mm-hmm. open and visit those areas and seeing the courthouses. It's been fun.
Is there anything that we can do to support you?
Sure. So I'll give the plug for
sure.
the social media. I have a page set up. It's a Razoo, razoo.com/story/Damon-Bikes-in-Every-Georgia-County. Or there's a Twitter. It's at BikeGAcounties. And that'll give information about the initiative, talk a little bit about the organization, obviously. and keep up to date and up to track. What I like to do on the ride, there are at least three things that I capture and photograph. So I get the county line sign. I'll get the old courthouse, because seeing some of these old courthouses are remarkable. I was happy I got to see the old courthouse in Hancock County before the unfortunate fire. There's one in Mount Vernon, Montgomery County, that's got a chocolate dome. So it's a lot of fascinating architecture out there. And then the biggest thing is to get a chance to talk to a lot of the people whenever I'm able to be around and meet them and see what kind of things are going on in those areas. So it's been fun.
Are you tracking your miles on this too?
I am tracking my miles, or as a pure cyclist, I'm tracking my kilometers. So far, as part of the initiative, I've done over 12,000 kilometers, so a little bit over 6,000, 7,000 miles.
Are you kidding me?
Wow, that is amazing.
So,
yeah, it adds up, though. 20 miles here, 60 miles there.
But the total itself is, that's almost across the country and back, right? Or close to it.
Definitely that far. But now, it hasn't been fast, that's for sure. So it's been a lot of miles, but they haven't been swift miles.
But some uphills, some downhills, and some back roads, and in the towns as well. You're seeing all of Georgia. That's great.
All of Georgia, and I have met a lot of pets. That's for sure.
The dogs chasing you.
Yeah, they tend to come out, so it's been fun.
Kind of like the mailman.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So thanks for letting me talk about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so we will talk a little bit more about your firm. We're going to talk about later in the show the hot topic of the small business owner and the legal side and the legal things, like maybe advice for that, for the small business owner, and kind of towards HR. Mm-hmm. And so you are an HR lawyer. First of all, tell us about your firm.
So it's a small firm. And what attracted me there in the first place was how we set up a model to be focused on the small business, nonprofit, local governments. Everybody that's a member, my partner Serena is a former deputy city attorney with the City of Atlanta's Law Department. And we bring diverse experiences and diverse backgrounds to the organization. We have a new associate, so we've got some fresh energy and some rawness there to help us out. And we realized that we had some experiences and talents which would be valuable for a lot of the small business owners out there, the real engine for our economic marketplace across the country. Because we saw that there were things that the small business owner was instantly focused on: getting customers, getting their product right, building their business. And sometimes they were not able to put their pure attention on legal formalities, other administrative things, HR. Sometimes the IT infrastructure is not where they want it to be because they're constantly growing the business, focused on the business.
Right.
So we wanted to be a perfect complement to those folks so we can help them move from a startup, a growth, a formation perspective, go through that transition, and ultimately come to a point where they've got a lasting legacy. So we want to be with them from the beginning, where they're rocky, solid times, helping them with that, and then also watching them as they grow. Sort of like children, I suppose.
Yeah. I kind of relate, because I see a lot of small businesses or startups every day, because they're looking for, you know, something to just an address, you know, something to just get started. And then watching them go, you know, graduate to an office. And so I'm kind of relating with you, and I could probably refer a lot of people over to you as well.
We'll take them.
Tell me a little bit about an HR lawyer. What is that?
Yeah, that's a good question that I get. And so an HR lawyer, HR law, is related mainly to labor and employment law. But what I envision is dealing with it on a more proactive or at a fundamental basis. It's no secret that those laws impact much of the work that HR professionals do. Eileen is an example of one of those great HR professionals, and so she'll talk about some of that. But I think that it is helping with a majority of the work that deals with hiring, firing, employee benefits, wages, overtime, may also deal with safety, workplace safety, perhaps even privacy, and certainly preventing discrimination and harassment. A lot of employment lawyers deal with those issues once they've become problems. And I think our work or our aim is to help the employers avoid many of those issues, or at least navigate through those issues, because so many components of the work that they have to do are impacted on a day-to-day basis. Local, state, and federal employment laws play a factor in all of that. Mm. And all of the HR professionals are doing a good job trying to work with understanding all of that, but still put out the daily fires that they have to experience.
Sure.
So our aim is to be a good complement to help deal with many of those things. We've drafted manuals and policies. We've done affirmative action programs as they've been applicable. We've done HR audits. We've done internal investigations. So all of those are the issues that we try and challenge or work with.
So that helps the small business owner because they may prevent a lot of those things. And that actually helps you because you're still, you know, working with them and you're not just putting out fires all day long.
Sure. And we think there are several ways that it really helps. One, it allows the small businessman or woman to keep their mind focused on their business, to not have to deal with those things. Mm-hmm. It also helps to avoid any potential impact, especially something that could be a monetary impact, because every dollar matters for a small business owner. Mm-hmm. And any mistake that they made or oversight that they had could really impact or cripple their business. The other thing is that having been with a larger organization, I think I bring a unique perspective, or we try to bring a unique perspective, to look from a strategic standpoint. So say sure. It's not enough to just say, okay, hey, we've hired somebody for you, but what if we change your hiring practices so as you grow, you've got good job descriptions that are in there, they're not discriminatory, and then when you start to bring more people on there. So the aim is to really partner with them and look from a strategic standpoint.
Sure, and ask them their goals and what they look to do in the future and what's their overall plan.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
That is amazing. That's great. So tell me, what are some of the challenges that you are seeing in the HR landscape today?
You asked me yesterday, you'd probably have a different answer. But I think that the same really still exists. I think that, and particularly so we can stay on topic for the small business owner, I think that hiring and retention are still challenges for the small business owner. There are a number of available applicants out there, but the deals that the employers are working with are timeliness. So we want to make sure that employers aren't just sort of getting the first hire. They want to be selective in their processes as best as they could be. They want to make sure that they ultimately recognize and reward for quality performance too during that process. So it sort of serves as a bit of this is the sunrise part for the employer and certainly the employee relationship. They want to make sure during that process they have some open channels of communication. And then during the work relationship, and Eileen's probably better on it and she'll give some better tips about that, maintaining that relationship, I think, is a big deal. And then dealing with the termination. I think also, though, that sometimes having the employees categorized in the right way from a wage and hour standpoint can be really a challenge. Sometimes we've had work with a lot of small businesses that do independent contractors. And independent contractors are great. They're convenient. But you have to make sure that you are watching what they really are being responsible for. Look at some of the economic realities in the work that they're doing, being sure that they are pure business owners. You want to watch the control that they have right there. And then I think just generally otherwise is being able to make sure that small business owners have the resources that they can devote to all of these. So it's a lot that's going on out there.
Sounds good. Is there any industry specific industries that you work with particularly, or is it any businesses across the board?
Yeah. Well, we work with the small business nonprofit, the local governments. We've done work for a county in the area. We've done work for the city of Atlanta itself. I'm the HR liaison for Big Brothers Big Sisters of Metro Atlanta, which is one of the largest one-to-one mentoring organizations in the Southeast, and it's a nonprofit. They have, since we mentioned the charitable component, they've got a car raffle going on, by the way. I should probably plug there.
Okay.
They're raffling a Tesla.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, almost as nice as yours, right? So so that process is going on right now. But we have worked for real small businesses. We've done work for an auto repair shop, a facilities management company that manages 3-4 schools around the area. We've done work for a property management company, an independent franchisor. Some franchisees actually for some restaurants. So we've done it all. And we like the diverse business or widget that the clients are putting out there. But we see that for the most part, taking out the governments or the nonprofits, we see the companies that are fewer than 25 employees.
Okay. Yeah, it must feel good, too, to work with those organizations who are helping others. You're helping them. So it kind of comes full circle there. But what is your day-to-day activities like there at the office? What are you mainly focused on at your work mm-hmm. on each day?
So it's no dissimilar than when I was with a large company in a pure HR role. In other words, my title was HR. It's a lot of fires that we're putting out. Yeah. It's a lot of issues during the day. I've tried hard to sort of balance it so that during the early part of the week, we can just deal with what's going on and what that mm-hmm. matter is. But for a lot of our clients, it gets tough. They may get notice of an unemployment hearing that we've got to jump on and be responsive to, or recruiting and retention hiring, especially since we've taken on that part, takes a lot of time, takes a lot of screening, takes a lot of review. So it's like it's a lot of fires, and I wish I could get a better platform of having a solid day. And it's only towards the end of the week where we try to make sure that we've reflected on what we've done and then provide the advice and counsel on how we think strategically we can help our clients.
How do some of these new clients find you? What's a typical way of them coming to you?
So far, it's not dissimilar than any other traditional law firm where referrals have been
word of mouth,
a big value to us. And in other instances, there are people who have done similar type of services for the agencies that we helped before mm-hmm. and have moved on or have done something else and have said, hey, here's a good person. But it's and it's any other traditional networking, marketing, business channels that we found people where we have made our services available. It's taken a little bit of time for people to grasp really what it is exactly that we do. We're not a law firm.
It's
we're
a little
not
bit different.
An HR consulting firm. Mm-hmm. Both. And so it helps. My partner, Serena, does the legal side purely. She'll mm-hmm. do legal formation. She'll work with IP and property rights issues. She'll work with those challenges that the small business also has. But ours is from a human capital perspective mainly.
So other lawyers are referring you or other HR firms are referring you specifically or past clients who've been happy business owners who have used your services, I guess, as well. So all of the above.
Yeah, I'm looking at you like a deer in headlights because all of the above.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. We've had good friends. Michael Joffroy, an excellent lawyer down in Covington in Atlanta, has been kind enough to refer us. Kevin Cruz, an HR professional, has referred us to some of the clients. So, yeah, so that's exactly how it's worked for us.
Other legal industries that you work with more than others, like family law, criminal law, is there a certain that you kind of get more referrals from and give more referrals to than
others? I think the employment lawyers are the ones, as long as they are comfortable and realize that if there is once it turns into litigation or something more complex, that I won't be taking up their territory.
Right.
Once I make them more comfortable, then they see that's what happens. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, good. Well, that was a really good summary, I think, of everything.
I hope
kind
so.
Of. Yeah, yeah. If you'll tell our listeners how they can reach you.
So our website is noellsparks.com, NOELLSPARKS.com. That's the best way. My direct dial number is 404-518-5759. Our offices are downtown in the SunTrust building. But if you can't find us on the website or with the direct dial number, then I'm probably somewhere out bicycling.
Yeah. That's right. Somewhere around Georgia somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere around Georgia.
Do you listen to music while you're...
Well, occasionally. it is dangerous, and any of the cyclists out there that are pure cyclists would scold me if they heard that I had on headsets anywhere. Mm-hmm. On trails, I may do it, but certainly when I'm in the counties and we've got to be on the roads, I've got to be on the lookout for those dogs. I've got to be on the lookout for those vehicles. So I'll have it maybe playing loudly because I know I won't disturb anybody, but without the headset. So, and I invite you all to come with me. So if you want a little bit of what we've got left, we've got Dade, Union, and Towns County. So those are all the mountain,
right.
The mountain counties. And then there's a cluster around Albany, and then there's a cluster around McIntosh, Liberty, Bacon, and Tatnall counties.
Do you have have a timeline when you want to get this completed by?
Yeah, so my service on the board for Georgia Legal Services, both in my capacity as president and also just as a general board member, ends in June. So I'm hoping to have it done in June. We do have a fundraising component. The goal was $15,900, $1,000 for each of the counties, and we're up to over $13,000 now.
Good so for you. So you're definitely going to surpass that goal.
Hopefully, Like. Yeah. But and the good thing about it, it's been $20 here, $30 there. It's been going to the towns and talking about what we're doing, and everybody after they think that I'm crazy for being on the bike, saying, "Well, I'd love to help." So the end of June is our goal.
Man, that sounds good. Well, we wish you much success on your bike riding and definitely in your business there. And we can't wait to hear when you're finally complete and what's next for you on the horizon. I'm sure this challenge is over. There'll be something else for you.
I got an idea.
Okay. Well, you can come back and talk about it then.
We'll do.
Absolutely. We'll do. Tell me really quick where your office is located. I didn't ask you that.
Yeah, we're downtown, SunTrust Building. But with the work that I do, I'm all over the place.
Sure.
So I'll go on site for many of the clients, depending on what their needs are. If they're remote clients and they have operations or businesses around, I'll go wherever the employees are, which is just like the work that I did before. We had field offices or manufacturing locations all across the country and in Canada, and we'd have to go to where the work is. So we go all over. But we are firmly planted downtown in the SunTrust Building.
So. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a beautiful building. Well, wonderful. And just wanted to remind our listeners, right now we are listening to Atlanta Legal Experts Radio. I am your host, Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices. And this show has been brought to you in part by 3A Law Practice Management and Peachtree Offices as well. And you can see the sponsorship logos and links on AtlantaLegalExperts.com. And also the guests today, you can see their full bios on the website at AtlantaLegalExperts.com. You doing good?
Doing great.
Good. All right,
yeah, this is rolling along here on the morning radio show.
We have Eileen Gray. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to go ahead and read your bio. Eileen Gray, SPHR, Senior Professional in Human Resources, provides consulting services in the areas of organizational effectiveness, training and facilitation, executive coaching, culture change, diversity, and recruitment. She has over 25 years of business experience as an entrepreneur, sales executive, human resource leader and trainer. She has worked with organizations of all sizes and industries, helping them implement solutions that drive strategic organizational results by leveraging the talents and engagement of its human capital. As a sales executive for 10 years, she actually led business development in Southeast for Development Dimensions International, DDI, one of the largest global talent development and assessment firms. And now prior to spending 10 years in sales, Eileen spent several years in human resources where she progressed through various levels of human resource management positions within ALCOA, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Contel, and ADVO. I think she could spell those out for you in just a minute. Eileen is a certified senior professional in human resources and has a bachelor's degree in personnel and labor relations from the University of Maryland and certificate in human resources management from Kennesaw State University. I could go on and on. It seems like you're definitely qualified to be here for this topic.
Great. Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about like your past and what got you to where you are today.
Well, I started out in my very first job out of college. I started in a clerical position and then determined that the folks that were running the department were a bunch of idiots, in my opinion, and I could probably do a better job. And so someone said, well, you're going to need to get some more education and training. And so that's exactly what I did. So I went and completed my college degree, and there we had it. I decided to just kind of take off from there, and it led me to Atlanta, and I love it.
So you're following your passion.
I am following my passion. Awesome. I am following my passion.
Yeah, and Emily, I asked Eileen to be here with us for a couple reasons. One, because she's seen much of these issues on the front line. Mm-hmm. Felt like I have where I saw most of my challenges connected to the relationship between the employer and the employee, the engagement. Mm-hmm. And so with the work that she's done both in a pure HR role, in her current role, and then also as president of NAAHR, where she's a aware of some of the trends. She knows what's going on. And,
sure.
And in fact, Eileen wanted to ask that you tell us more about that employee engagement process and how it's critical to sort of the work relationship and how it can be clean and effective for small business owners and large business owners alike.
Well, just as you said, Damon, if you're a small business owner, you don't have a nickel to waste. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of research out there that would suggest that people that are engaged in what they're doing, meaning they've got a passion for it, they identify with the goals of the organization, they give that extra discretionary effort. And mm-hmm. so you want all oars in the water pulling to make your business successful. But you know, it's really startling when we look at the data and it says that there's only about 28 to 30% of your employees that are fully and actively engaged.
Wow.
Yes.
That's low.
So what does that mean? That means that 70% of your employees are a little less engaged or highly disengaged. They're just right. waiting for the first opportunity to jump off the boat, right? So the thing that I get passionate about is what are the things that a small business owner or any business owner for that matter can do in order to increase the level of engagement?
Okay.
And so what are some of those suggestions? Where does it begin? What can we do? Is there a 30, 60, 90 day plan or what can small business owners do that don't cost a lot of money?
Right. And there are things that a small business owner can do. And what I say is that it really starts with the people that you hire. Right. Because you can hire people that have a self, they're motivated, they're looking to make a connection, to be a part of something greater. You
right.
bring that energy in, and then it's up to you as the owner to not squash it, not to kill it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so many times there are things that start from the day
the
one,
very beginning. Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning, like recognizing to the person why you hire them and how their unique strengths and attributes can really contribute to the growth and the development, because you want those employees to have a clear sense of your vision, your mission, and your goals. And so those owners that are very secretive or protective, or they think that this isn't a high-level person, they don't need to know about that. I would differ with them.
Sure.
Yeah. And so you want to provide that with everyone. You want to make sure that people are really clear on what their job accountabilities are. Mm-hmm. So many times people walk around, they're not quite sure where the boundaries are. Mm-hmm. People want to identify with the brand. So helping them really feel good about the work of the organization, providing them recognition. Damon mentioned some things too in terms of recognizing people for going above and beyond, wanting to feel as if they're working for a manager that cares about them, mm-hmm. that they have a friend at work, that they have an opportunity to do their best, that some of the obstacles that can get in our way of effectiveness, the organization feels committed to removing those obstacles so that they can be all in. And so the things that I mentioned around the way that you manage people don't require a huge investment.
Sure.
It requires a mindset. And it requires the communication and setting the culture.
And Emily and Eileen, and I think Eileen would agree with me, this is where a lot of small business or business owners get in trouble. It's at the very beginning. It is such an important part of the process to make sure that you're hiring well. It's tantamount to a marriage, because you don't want it to end up in that messy or costly divorce.
Right.
And I think, and in fact, NAAA HR did a fascinating program last month as part of its good programming, which focused on the fact that so many times small business owners are just looking at resumes and matching people up to the tangible things that are on there. Well, this man can do this, this woman can do that, and that's what I need. But not really taking the time to meet with or talk to the employee and find out what the intangibles are or more important, really looking and seeing where this person can help us take the business later on. So that's why pairing with an Eileen or some of the other pros from NAAA HR becomes really important, because once that person leaves, it could be costly. Or why didn't you hire anybody else? All of those things that are explored or examined as part of the process a little later on.
I've been told, I mean, we actually interview 3 times minimum. You know, because and sometimes in a row, because by the time they get to the third person, they're comfortable.
Right.
And the more them comes out, so you can really learn about them. Is that a good suggestion, is to interview at least 3 times?
Well, I think that having multiple people to interview you'll get different perspectives.
Absolutely.
And I think, though, as Damon says, it really starts with going into the interview, being really clear on what you're looking for. And again, it's not just, I need X number of years of experience, I need them to have this credential, but it's also thinking about and being honest with yourself, what is our culture? And what are the things that will either motivate someone to want to stick around, do a good job, or things that could be demotivating? So once you figure that out and you have multiple interviewers, you're very targeted on what you are looking for.
Right.
And also by having multiple interviews also helps to prevent employee subjective bias creeping in, because, you know, you might have a thing and think that in order to really be a smart person, they need to graduate from Georgia Tech. There are a lot of smart people at Georgia Tech. There are also really smart people coming from other organizations. And so you want to make sure that you get a balanced perspective.
Right. That's fairly smart. I was also told that you have the position in mind, and you don't try to fit the people into a position. You have the position set up, and then you find that person that fits that position. Does that make sense? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you need to know, be clear on what that position is, and then it's like you're trying to match. You're trying to see if there is a match. However, I guess there is one caveat, particularly when I think about small business, is that sometimes we can be so focused on the narrow confines of how a job has been defined in the past that you can run across an all-star player, somebody that could be the next Michael Jordan for your team. And so you may want to, when you have those situations where the Michael Jordan type person shows up, to begin to look and think, wow, is there an opportunity? Is there somebody like this that I can bring on and maybe develop a way to utilize their skills in a way that I hadn't even seen before?
Yeah.
And Emily, let me bring it full circle back to some of the legal components and still stay connected to small businesses. And the irony is that law firms, law practices are small businesses. And sometimes we forget many of these very things that we're talking about right now. We have employees that we take for granted because they're lawyers and think that they may or may not know what's going on. But we have administrative support. We have others that are connected to us. And at the end of the day, it all comes down to keeping open lines of communication and channels of communication, taking advantage and learning from the man or woman that you've hired, what it is that they've done in the first 30 days. Certainly after a year, do you need to revisit that job description? Because maybe it's different from what you expected, but you'll also find out if they're engaged. You'll also find out if there are any challenges. You'll also let the employees know that you care about the work that they're doing. And that prevents so many troubling issues later on. If there are difficult things that the employee's not doing, sometimes small business owners aren't able or reluctant to tell the people that they aren't doing them. They certainly don't document and do it, which is a big, big deal. And that's what'll get you in trouble all the time. You didn't let the employee know what they may be missing, so they can't cure or correct it. You take the termination action because you've got to do something else and put somebody else in the box. You didn't document it. And so here you are getting challenged from a government organization and you got nothing to prove it or got nothing to support it. And so that's when it becomes really, really tough to make sure that you've got that stuff going on all along the way. And as Eileen said, from day one when you're doing it.
And one of the things, just to jump in, is that, yes, you have to document. You have to have those conversations. One thing, though, that I think that as a business owner is that you need to look at your communication skills and how you deliver feedback. So does that feedback come across as a ton of bricks has just landed on you, where you're completely shut down and feeling defensive? Because certainly you may deliver the message that there is a performance gap, but going back to engagement, is that person motivated and do they want to, or they see a path forward?
Sure.
So some of the skills and training that I would suggest for our small business owners is to really think about your whole communication skills. Have you done any type of assessment where you get a feel for what your style is? Are you a very direct and to the point kind of a person? That works for a lot of people.
Right.
On the other hand, it doesn't work for everybody. And so it just calls into play the ability to be flexible in your approach if you want to be just as effective with one person as the other. And so sometimes it means dialing it back or saying it in a different way.
Or having somebody else that handles it better because they're the different personality type.
Exactly.
Talk with that specific person.
Absolutely.
Can we go back kind of to the legal side?
Sure.
Just tell me a little bit more about like one of the issues that you're seeing more recently, legal, like, so I don't know, harassment or...
No, I think, and I touch base on, I think wage and hour is a big deal.
Okay.
I think sometimes the employees are miscategorizing employees, believing that they're exempt from overtime requirements, and they may in fact not be. I know we've all read how it's been challenges where we almost have the constant employee in all positions in this age of the cell phones and the mobile devices and the emails. We really have an expectation for all levels or all category of employees to be on call. And we've got to manage that process. We've got to manage that process a little bit better because not all employees are exempt from those overtime requirements. So scheduling has become a big deal. It's not just enough that somebody may have a nice title. We've gotten to an age where we've made titles be something that they're different from the actual work requirement. So it's important to audit and see what the duties are, what the actual work that the employers are doing before they get themselves in a lot of trouble. And I also mentioned independent contractors. People are finding that sort of convenient to try and say, hey, you're just an independent contractor for the work that we're doing here.
Right.
But yet they turn around and they direct their schedule. They give them the tools and equipment. They put them in that the employee doesn't get the chance, or the independent contractor rather doesn't get the chance to direct their own schedule. So it gets really tough. So both the wage and hour from that standpoint, because oftentimes it brings in some potential class complications, not so much with the small businesses, but if you've been doing this for a long time and you do grow, you find yourself in 5 or 10 years having several hundred employees in multi-state locations,
right,
and you've been doing it the wrong way since the beginning, it certainly could be a challenge later on.
So what would your suggestion be? Like to just keep reviewing what you're compensating, you know, as what their jobs are? And
I think a regular review is the key. I think,
and I guess that is for all across the board.
It is across the board. Certainly an annual review with most positions is one way to ensure that it happens. If you have the time and ability to do it more frequently, that may help, because the jobs evolve and they changed at the drop of a dime, and you'll find yourself, again, especially in a small business situation where the resources are scarce, lumping more and more and more on the person that has decided to say yes to you and agreed to partner with you. But then you turn around and they're doing stuff that you never imagined, or they never imagined that they'd certainly be called on to do. So I think at least an annual review would probably help.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And to the whole point that many times in small businesses, you're not able to pay salary levels that might be comparable to other larger organizations. And
that's
so if we look at wanting to keep the person motivated, I know we'll call you the director,
right?
And so we lump on these titles and then we say, well, of course you're exempt now. We don't have to pay you overtime. You've got this grand title. But when you look at what the person is doing, really, it's more of a, you know, it doesn't really meet the test, the true test as to what someone should be to be in an exempt level position.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely right. That happens more often than not. But, you know, I think training also helps a little bit with that, too. Taking the amount of time to invest in training to make everyone, especially on the management side, aware of what to be cautious for and what to look out for, those things help. And that can happen with some of the people from NAAA, HR's, certainly keeping the employee files updated. So often we'll just lump things in a drawer, but we need to make sure that we have our files in a good position. Setting up practices at the very beginning. There's nothing wrong with checklists. I'm a big fan of checklists. If they're accurate checklists, I think they could be your biggest guide and your biggest help. If you don't have the money to invest in a partner who can really help on a day-to-day, get someone who will help you with a really good checklist. Make sure that the employees, if they need need certifications, if you've got some drivers that might need some CDLs, or if you have some other immigration requirements and forms that you got to get on board, your checklist will help with all of that. So those are good parts of the process.
We constantly renew our checklists because they change so much, because we change as a growing business. So yeah, it's huge.
And we see in our clients are all perfect. They have all of these things down pat.
Yeah, sure. But especially ones that have been doing it for a while.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I do want the small business owner to feel comfortable in the fact that it's no better with larger organizations that are layered with bureaucracy.
Oh, sure.
It's just that sometimes we have so much that we've got to focus on. We can't think of everything, or we do get stuck in, as Eileen mentioned, this way of thinking that we've done it this way for a long time, and so it's fine, and we don't renew ourselves, or we don't update our processes. It's important to continue to renew yourself and your processes, especially as a business owner, or because you take the biggest risk and you've got the biggest liability connected with not having it all together.
Tell me, we kind of got away from your expertise, my apologies. Tell me a little more about the NAAA HR. What is that?
Great.
We've been saying it.
Yes, you have. It actually is an acronym for a professional development organization for people in human resources focused on those that are African American. So it's the National Association of African Americans in Human Resources.
Gotcha.
It's a national organization, and in Atlanta, we have the largest chapter. We have almost 200 members. I have been associated with the organization for a number of years, have served as the president for the last 2.5 years, and have recently taken on a role on the national board where I'm responsible for chapters in the Southeast.
Nice.
So what we do each month, we do professional development meetings on HR or management related topics. Those meetings and that information, it's not just restricted to folks that are African Americans. And it's not
just... That was my next question.
Right, exactly. No, we do have, a diverse and inclusive membership base. Mm-hmm. It also is not exclusive to people in, it's not just for people in HR. And so your listeners, it might be small business owners, there could be topics that they could well benefit from. We do a nice dinner meeting the second Wednesday of every month. We'll look at our meeting in April. We'll be talking about how people's brains, the neuroscience behind adapting to change. And one of the things about small business is that things are changing every day. And so there'll be some tips that you could pick up there. We'll look in May around micro triggers, meaning what are those little things that you don't even realize cause you aggravation and sometimes cause you to disconnect with people. So what are those things? Let's be present to them so that we can decide in advance how we're going to react. So we do a lot of programs. Some programs, as Damon mentioned last month, had to do with hiring. You know, how do you, you know, dodge the duds that walk in to interview so that you can pick the superior performers. So that is, in a nutshell, some of the things that we do.
Yeah, and Eileen's modest. The organization does do a lot. It's a perfect referral source or referral base for a lot of HR professionals and business owners alike. Mm-hmm. As a kudo, I think it's been announced that we are hosting a national event next year.
Yeah, so NAAA HR has been selected, or I'm sorry, Atlanta has been selected as the host city for our 2016 national conference. Will be happening next October. Yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
We're very excited. We want to show off our city. We've got a lot, I think, to be proud of in terms of what the city has done and some of the companies here and the HR professionals and the talent in Atlanta and in the region. And then getting back and picking up on our membership base, we've got executives from large organizations, some of your global leaders in town. We have HR manager, directors, working professionals, students, those in transition that are trying to get an HR. And we also have a large contingent of people like myself that are small business owners. We are HR consultants. We work with nonprofits, small business, medium-sized business, and the like. So one of the things that could be a resource for your listeners, if you are looking for someone to help you connect the dots, you know, there are people there in our organization that could be a resource as well.
I learned something new at every event that I went to. We had a meeting recently dealing with unconscious bias, and here I was thinking I was the coolest person in the world dealing with that issue. And I didn't realize that even I had some unconscious biases that just triggered automatically, and then what I needed to do to be focused on them as they move forward. So the organization is a great resource, especially for some of those small business owners that need to do that. Because and dealing with the subject matter that we got, I mean, our HR laws, our employment are just so connected to legal and legally related matters on a day in and day out basis that it becomes a challenge. It's a lot. And so it's important to partner with important and qualified people like that.
And Atlanta's the perfect place for it.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I had a question about this recent Affordable Health Care Act that's come out. And how does that relate to not only employees know what their rights are, but employers? What are their rights? And both y'all could speak on that.
Yeah, so I did a lot of work with Affordable Care Act 4 or 5 years ago as it was being developed and as it was slowly rolling out and rolling into play. It continues to have a slow roll, and so there are each year changes or at least updates that employers need to know. I think I got to a point, Eileen, though, where I turned it over to the tax people, tell them that this was their issue to deal with, the finance people and the tax issue once we started rolling out and we modified some of the programs and some of the plans. But that's a good example of how the landscape can change almost instantly and impact core fundamental parts of your business operations with a legal mandate or some legal changes that occur. It's a good point. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of training about that because there were a lot of questions that our employees had. And so we hoped that we helped them explain that. And then subsequently things were modified or delayed or changed. And it gets tough when there are rollouts like that because there's still a lot of questions once it gets into play too that update or modify things. And so it was probably some of the biggest work that we did in most recent years, and didn't impact some of our small business clients as much as it really impacted some of the larger organizations.
I see a lot of businesses going to part-time employees because of some of these mandates that are coming down. And so employees are getting their hours cut back or perhaps having another role within the business themselves. And employers are trying to maximize their bottom line. So it's got to be confusing not only to people who are business owners, but perhaps professionals like yourself. And who do you turn to get these answers?
And that is the resulting impact, and it does mean a lot of change, and there are some legal and other implications that do come along with making some of those changes, especially to employees that have been with you for a while and may have built up an expectation. And so sometimes you have to temper those expectations and let them know that things get impacted or get affected. As far as the work that we do, though, we sort of roll with the punches, though. We sort of go in and say, well, here's what the difference is. Here's what it means for you. Here's how we need to implement it. And here's how we need to implement it smoothly so that there aren't any complications or impact, particularly negative impact as a result thereof. Yeah. So, it's a slow process, but I think I would be remiss if I didn't describe it as a fun process for sure.
It's challenging,
yeah.
Right?
And
you gotta definitely stay up to date on all the changes.
Yeah. Most of our time, though, is spent really just doing the day-to-day stuff. And so the changes are ones that are very important and take a lot of time to sit down and sort of plan and prepare. So,
That's smart.
Is there anything new on the horizon that we should be aware of, or any changes coming up for states or perhaps nationally that we should be aware of for employees or employers?
So there are several things that are out there. As you know, recently, Georgia, the governor signed the Ban the Box executive order, and that applies to state employees. And what that generally does is it essentially allows candidates, particularly those with a criminal record, to have sort of a clearer process in being evaluated and not automatically be discounted from these state jobs or these state roles. Now, sensitive positions, prison guards, some of those others, it doesn't impact. And it's not applicable to private employers. Although Eileen and I were having a discussion about it earlier, and we have seen historically in those states that have adopted the Ban the Box legislation before, it has trickled down to private employers. Mm. I'm going to try and remember this list. I think Hawaii, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New Jersey, there are two more that I'm forgetting. I did roll to private employers.
Wow.
And the reason why it's trending is not just because it happened here in Georgia, but the EEOC issued recommendation and guidance about that in 2012. And so sometimes for us, what we like to do for fun is see these recommendations that agencies like the EEOC may institute, or agencies like the NLRB, which may or may not have any direct implication to some private employers, or certainly employers that aren't organized, but may set the tone or may set the trend for legislation that comes down later on, because people adopt it as good ideas, or it's understood as potentially something that businesses need to do. And the challenge is that it's so much stuff coming at businesses, and sometimes there are burdens that are impacted on them from a cost standpoint. You know, the other thing that I think is trending is still with social media, and still with Facebook, Twitter.
Wow.
For a long time, there was a long discussion about the dilemma with First Amendment rights, and certainly employees who take to Facebook and Twitter and certainly want to convey how they feel about their work. And it's a challenge. I think you'll see more things coming about with that, because I think that one thing that some of the proposed legislations don't really take into account are some of the safety issues. And that's where we fear for it a lot. We have employees who work, and some of the clients that we represent, day in and day out with clients and customers, and some of them are even children. And some of these minors the only way that they're communicating nowadays is Facebook and Twitter. And it's nothing for them to say, hey, let me follow you on Twitter. Hey, let me do this. And we want our employees to be protected, because that can get in a lot of trouble. So I think social media is a big deal and a trending thing. And then, Ryan, other areas or categories of discrimination, I think, are evolving. I think people that are overweight, you're seeing some of those areas fall into ADA protection, disability protection, and you might even see it trigger into disability discrimination. I am pushing, I'm not making fun of it, but I'm pushing for protections for short and bald people. That would be very important, but apparently we don't get that. We can still be made fun of. Right. So things like that you see in some instances be categorized as disabilities one day will afford you protections from being discriminated in some of the other employment laws later on. So that's how those trends start. That's what you
human
watch
rights.
For. So,
really?
A lot of it is human rights. A lot of it is,
Definitely, yeah.
No, I was just going to say, in terms of this whole area of discrimination, particularly one here in Atlanta that I think pops up a lot is the whole GBLT community and your gay, bisexual, lesbian, and transgender. So we're seeing more proactiveness and people saying, hey, I am what I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I do the job or can I do the job? So that's also, I think, a hot topic.
Sure.
Here as well.
Yeah, it comes on the show a lot, the topic, on all the different topics. It spans all of them. I have another question for you, and it will probably close out the show.
Okay.
Either one can answer or both. You're both small business owners.
Mm-hmm.
So you do this for a living. Take it to a personal perspective. What do you face? You know, what are some challenges for you as a small business owner, and how do you, and we're actually, wow. The hour's almost up, so it might not be the best question, but how do you face those challenges and how do you overcome them?
Well, I think for me as a small business owner, the thing is when you start looking at sales and business development and being able to split your time between going out and hunting for no business and then executing the business. So that continues to be a challenge. One of the things that I do to try to overcome that, I am actually partner with my husband Tracy, and his background is more marketing and communications. And so we try to play off of each other's strengths. So he has his expertise, I have my expertise, but then we try to come together and really brainstorm what are the things that we can do in order to generate new client opportunities and ideas in terms of execution. So if I'm stuck on something, it's helpful to be able to bounce ideas off of someone who may not necessarily be in HR, but certainly has the sensitivity to think of it from a former executive in the marketing and advertising space.
Oh, that's nice.
We face everything. And in fact, I think it would be safe to say that my advice here is a do as I say, not do as I do kind of mantra, because we have our own challenges when it comes to hiring and bringing on people who will be effective for us. We have our own challenges in making sure that we're doing what's necessary to grow our business, because at the end of the day, that's what it is. And then pay attention to everything else. So the same things apply for us.
And that's why you're on Atlanta Legal Experts Radio.
That's right. Yeah, very good.
Let me let you, Eileen, tell the guests and the listeners, how they can reach you.
Okay, great. So you can reach me at grayassociates.net. And I have a phone number, 770-833-2677. And for all of those folks on Twitter, I'm at Eileen Gray, and then the initials, S-P-H-R. You can also find more information about NAAA HR on our website, which is naaahratlanta.org.
Oh, thank you so much. And go ahead and repeat how they can reach you.
Sure. Our website for the business is Noelle Sparks, N-O-W-E-L-L Sparks, S-P-A-R-K-S.com. I'm not going to repeat that initiative website. That's just too long. If I weren't so far in it, I'd change it. But the Twitter for my work is at Damon, D-A-M-O-N, underscore, Elmore, E-L-M-O-R-E. Our business is at Noel Sparks. And then the initiative is at Bike GA Counties.
Thank you so much for being here. That was some really good advice. What do you think?
Very informative, very exciting, and definitely a pleasure to have you guys in the studio today to talk about all the important stuff that you're doing out there in the community. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
And lots more to talk about, so we'll definitely have you back. And
thank you, Emily.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I can't talk. Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices at AtlantaLegalExperts.com. See you next week.